When we see who Jesus is, we see who God is. And that is why when we worship God, we need to worship Him in truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. You can't go to a mountain. You can't go to a church. You can't go to a mosque to find God.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the Book of John, Chapter 4.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. That again is www.awordfromgod.net. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to pick up in chapter 4 of the book of John, where we see Jesus taking a detour to go visit the Gentiles. Let's begin now in the book of John, chapter 4, starting with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then comes he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So we see a growing concern among the Pharisees who have been hearing about the works of Jesus, and they see that his following is growing much larger, and this is starting to concern them. When Jesus hears about the Pharisees and how they're learning about his works, he decides to take a detour to where the Gentiles live. Where Jesus has gone to is Samaria. To the Jews, the Samaritans represented the downfall of the Jewish culture. The biggest difference between the Jews and the Samaritans were their beliefs in religion. The Samaritans, for instance, believed that God should be worshipped on Mount Gerizim. In Jesus' day, there just weren't very many Jews that would hang around Samaritans, let alone visit their region. But Jesus is going to do much more than just visit. He is actually going to proclaim the gospel to these people, something that the Jews would never want to do. In the next passage, we're going to see how Jesus not only breaks through religious barriers, but also through cultural barriers. You know, religion can really mess things up. And Jesus never taught of religion. Jesus taught of a relationship with God through himself. Verse 7, there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Jesus' reference to the gift of God is himself. Jesus is our gift from God as payment for our sins. It's a gift that each and every one of us has to accept from God willingly. God does not force the gift of Jesus Christ onto anyone. He simply presents Jesus to us gently, lovingly, and gracefully. And it is up to us to accept Jesus Christ into our lives and accept him as the payment for our sins. Jesus goes on to tell the woman that he has something to drink that is beyond the water that is attainable inside of the well. Jesus is referring to himself as the living water. And notice how he says, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. All we need to do is come to God and ask of him, and he gives us abundantly Jesus Christ, the living water. There's not very many people, friends, that I know that would give me anything as precious as Jesus just for the asking. But God does. Every time we come to God and we say, Lord, I need to get closer to you, he answers us. It's God's desire to be close to us. And he does that through our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 11, the woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, then I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Understand that Jesus is speaking spiritually to the woman, just as he was to Nicodemus in chapter 3. Yet the woman is thinking about a physical type of water, a water that you can drink that will never let you get thirsty again, physically. But Jesus is telling this woman that once you accept him as the payment of sins, you are now in a relationship with God. And that, my friend, is what we thirst for the most. We thirst for God. We thirst for a relationship for him. And when we get Jesus into our lives, that thirst is quenched. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband, and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that said you truly. Jesus is actually convicting this woman of her sin. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does when it points out what we are doing wrong. Without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus in our lives, we have no direction. Yet Jesus is doing two things here. He is letting her know that he understands fully her sins. And he's also letting her know that he is the forgiveness for sins, as he's about to explain to her. Verse 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, notice how the woman sidesteps what Jesus was just speaking about pertaining to her life of sin. Just like many of us today, we try to get off the subject of ourselves and steer the conversation to another subject. Jesus goes right back into what he was meaning to say to her in the first place when he goes on in verse 21. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, when Jesus is talking about worshiping in truth, he means that you need to be worshiping the correct God. In Jesus' day, there were people out there worshiping idols and false gods. And Jesus was trying to tell her, I'm the truth. And is he? Yes. Jesus is the truth. Jesus represents what God is. When we see who Jesus is, we see who God is. And that is why when we worship God, we need to worship Him in truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus also goes on to tell the woman that God is a spirit. You can't go to a mountain. You can't go to a church. You can't go to a mosque to find God, because God is everywhere. You can't contain God on a mountain as the Samaritans were. God can be found at that mountain, but He can also be found in your bedroom. He could be found in your living room. He could be found in your car. Anytime that you need to talk to God, anytime that you desire to worship God, you can do it from any location that you want to do it from. Verse 25, the woman said to Him, "I know the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I that speak to you am He." And on this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seek you?" or "Why talk you with her?" So we see the disciples returning back, and they were astonished at the fact that Jesus was speaking to a woman. Now, in today's society, that may not mean a whole lot to us, but in Jesus' day, especially among the Jews, it wasn't really cool to be caught with somebody of the female persuasion and be talking with them alone. I mean, after all, you might get people talking. Secondly, they actually believed, the Jews, that talking to a woman for long periods of time could lead a man astray. And remember, the woman was there by herself at the well? Normally, women would go together at the well and get the water together. But this woman, having five husbands prior and a man that she was living with currently, she was probably an outcast, and the other women didn't want to associate themselves with her. So when the disciples came back and saw Jesus speaking to this woman alone and being a Samaritan, they were probably wondering to themselves, what is He doing? But that's the thing about Jesus. God accepts everyone into the family who believes on Jesus. Now, notice in this next passage, we're going to see that this woman believes. And not only does she believe, but she goes out and evangelizes immediately. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Him. This woman accepted what Jesus Christ had to say to her and spread it amongst her people. You know, God can use anyone. In this case, Jesus used a woman who had been married five different times and who was currently living in sin with another man. Verse 31, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, "Master, eat." But He said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Has any man brought Him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." So here we have the disciples trying to feed Jesus physical food. He obviously must have been hungry from the traveling. But Jesus would have none of it, for He was feeding off the Spirit of God, which is much more important than physical food. Don't get me wrong, I'm not telling people to starve themselves. But we need more than physical substance to maintain life. We need Jesus in our lives to maintain everlasting life. As Christians, God has work for each and every one of us to do, and that should be the meat that we feed off of. We should feed off of the will of God for our lives, each and every day. In verse 35, Jesus goes on to say, "Say not you, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit to life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. What Jesus is explaining to the disciples is that when people go out to evangelize, when people go out to spread the word of God, immediate results are not always obtained. Sometimes when we witness to somebody, we are planting a seed, and that seed begins to grow. Then later, somebody else comes along and waters that seed. And perhaps that person who came along second or third or maybe 100th, maybe that person is the one who reaps without sowing anything. A good example of this would be our forefathers here in America planted seeds of constitutional freedoms. And through the Constitution, people who have never worked for it are reaping the benefits of a free society. So is it when we spread the word of God. We don't always evangelize with the instant result to see the person come to Christ. Sometimes we'll tell someone about Jesus Christ, and we will not see the results of what we have done in that person's life. But others will reap from what we have done. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they sought him that he would tarry with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And now that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What an amazing thing that has taken place here. Jesus stops off at a well, and he speaks to one woman, a sinner at that. And this one person goes into the town, and she brings all of these people with her testimony to Jesus, and many of them believed. Do you know how important it is to share Jesus with people around you? Some people use the excuse that they're just not allowed to talk about Jesus at their job or in their families or around their friends. This woman had many excuses as to why she couldn't go into town and tell these people what she witnessed in Jesus. These people could have easily looked at her and discredited her for her lifestyle. Like I said, friends, God can use anyone. The only thing holding God back in any person's life is willingness. God won't use anyone who is not willing. Are you willing? Verse 43, now after 2 days, he departed there and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana and Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and sought him, that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Jesus explains to the people that unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe in me. But, you know, God doesn't use miracles just to make grandstands, just to gather crowds for whatever reasons. Jesus wanted to prove a point, and the point was that he is God. The second thing that Jesus was showing the people was that he doesn't have to be where the problem is to fix the problem. I've ministered to people who've told me that they just feel like God isn't with them on something. But you know something? God is with us always. God is everywhere. Just because we don't see God doesn't mean that God isn't there, because he is. And Jesus was clearly showing, I don't have to physically be someplace to reach out and to heal a sick person. Jesus has full authority to do the works of God, and he is displaying that here amongst the people. I'd like to invite you right now to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It's the biggest and best decision you will ever make. Please say this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin and I want to follow you, Jesus, for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. We have every episode of A Word from God archived online where you can easily listen to them. You can also subscribe to our feed and download the MP3 versions of A Word from God to enjoy at any time. There's even a section online that explains salvation. And if you know someone who isn't saved and wants to know more, just send them a link to the website. You just might be saving their eternal life by doing so. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. This video features a collection of paraphrased Bible promises that will help you start your day with praise and worship and will ignite your love for God in a refreshing new perspective. Sit back and relax to Bible scriptures covering four topics of God's Word. The topics are God's love, praising God, salvation, and the names of God. Each scripture is displayed atop beautiful scenes of nature which portray the goodness of God. In addition, a soothing soundtrack of relaxing, inspirational music plays in the background as each scripture appears on screen. Because the scriptures are paraphrased in the first person, they feel more personalized, helping you to sense God's presence as He draws near to you in His Word. Again, this video will be sent to you absolutely free when you donate any amount to this ministry. Donate online at www.awordfromgod.net or send your donations to James Lindley Ministries, Attention Donations, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God. Now back to James.
Thank you, Misha. I just want to conclude that in this chapter, we see how Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman, who not only was a woman, but a Samaritan who didn't have the same beliefs as the Jews. And the reason why I say not only a woman is because in Jesus' day, women didn't get a whole lot of respect. They weren't counted for very much. Yet he didn't care what his disciples or anyone else was thinking. He still reached out to this woman and evangelized to her. And furthermore, he didn't judge her by the sins that she was living in when it came to her multiple partners or husbands. He didn't judge her for any of that. Instead, he offered her grace through believing in him. And what did the woman do? She accepted that. And she ran and she told everyone else about it. And those people believed because of her testimony. Christians today need to learn from this example, not prejudge people, not look at somebody and see their sin, but see the love that God has for the sinner and reach out to them with the gospel. That's what we should be focusing on. It doesn't matter what we think that that person should be doing or shouldn't be doing. We need, as Christians, to reach out to the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. And look what that accomplished. This woman went and she told other people about what Jesus told her. And they went to see for themselves. See, sometimes all we need to do is lead people to Jesus and let him take over from there. Sometimes that's all we need to do. Just put a good word in for Jesus. We also see in this chapter that Jesus doesn't have to be in a particular place physically in order to reach out and do a miracle, as he did in verses 43 through 47 of this chapter. He healed the man's son without even being there. He just spoke the word. Sometimes when we're praying to God and we're in dire need of his answer, sometimes we can feel as if he's so far away that he doesn't hear us, or that something's too big or difficult, or he's unwilling. And that's where faith comes in. We have to know that nothing is too big for God. Nothing is too far away. And that God is everywhere. And as we go through this chapter, we learn that God, even when he was in physical form as Jesus Christ, was still in control and still is today. I find it very interesting that this entire chapter of the book of John focuses on two encounters with Jesus Christ, the Samaritan woman and the nobleman. And I think it's very interesting how Jesus reached out and touched each of these individuals on a different level. And that's what Jesus does today. He reaches out to everyone on an individual level. See, Jesus Christ didn't die for all of the world. He died for each and every one of us. We are to seek God through his Son, Jesus Christ, on a personal, individual level. I'm James Lindley for A Word from God, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.